And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
A toddler was sentenced to life imprisonment in North Korea after the child's family was found in possession of a Bible, according to a new report by the US State Department. Although the incident took place in 2009, it has been highlighted in the department's new report on international religious freedom this month, citing data from Korea Future, a non-governmental organization documenting human rights abuses in North Korea. One case involved the 2009 arrest of a family based on their religious practices and possession of a Bible. The entire family, including a two-year-old child, were given life sentences in political prison camps, it said. There are estimated to be between 200,000 and 400,000 clandestine Christians in North Korea, mainly in the West, where many are believed to have settled after an explosion of interest in the religion in 1907. Korea Future's report was based on interviews between 2007 and 2020 with 244 victims of religious persecution who have been subjected to arrest, detention, forced labor, torture, denial of fair trial or right to life, and to sexual violence for practicing shamanism or Christian beliefs. The findings reflect the regime's paranoia over religious minorities and its lack of tolerance for any belief other than absolute devotion to the ruling Kim family as they seek to maintain their iron grip on power. The North Korean regime has tried to stamp out Christianity for decades, and it is said to fear the influence of the church after studying its role in the collapse of the Iron Curtain in Europe in the 1980s. Defectors have revealed horrific details of Christians being brutally tortured, killed, and incarcerated in gulags. There are a handful of Christian churches across the country, including four in Pyongyang, but most observers say they are just show churches. It is estimated that between 50,000 to 70,000 North Korean citizens are held in prison for their Christian beliefs, according to Open Doors USA, which advocates for persecuted Christians around the world. The group has stated that life for Christians is a constant cauldron of pressure, capture, or death, and that's only a mistake away. In its World Watch List report released earlier this year, Open Doors said Pyongyang had intensified its hounding of Christians, hunting for underground churches. It documented a horrifying incident where several dozen believers were discovered and executed, with more than 100 of their family members sent to labor camps. Followers of shamanism and Chiendoism, a modern religious movement based on the 19th century Korean Neo-Confucian movement, are also targeted by the North Korean regime. Several survivors who were imprisoned for shamanism also described horrendous conditions in prison camps, where they testified to being beaten, forced into stress positions, and given contaminated food, the State Department said. Officials worked us hard without feeding us properly. I suffered from malnutrition and was sure I would not survive. I kept having diarrhea, even when I only drank water, and I weighed just 77 pounds, so I was like a skeleton back then, said one former prisoner. The State Department report concluded that the situation in North Korea has not fundamentally changed since a damning 2014 United Commission of Inquiry report on the deprivation of human rights there. It noted that the inquiry found that authorities almost completely denied the rights to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion, and determined the government in many instances committed violations of human rights that constituted crimes against humanity. Since the start of the pandemic, North Korea has also become increasingly more difficult to escape from. A Reuters investigation published last Monday used commercial satellite images to show how the regime has used the health crisis as an opportunity to build hundreds of miles of new or upgraded border fences, walls, and guard posts to lock its people in. The Church of England is facing a backlash over the merger of nearly two dozen parishes into one community with only three ministers. Changes in Leicester will bring 23 parishes under the Lord Minster community, which some church members claim will mean just one full-time minister will represent the congregations. About 600 worshippers within the parishes will be affected, said the church, in an area with a total population of 7,800, smaller than many other places in the country. Plans were first announced 2 years ago for Leicester's 234 parishes to be brought under 20 to 25 Minster communities to ensure a financially sustainable future for churches. However, the diocese is now facing questions over whether enough ministers have been assigned to the new communities. Writing in the Church Times, Canon Angela Tilby said each of the new communities would only have three priests, two of whom were only pioneer ministers. She said the diocese would parish share, along with a lot of sold-off parish assets, to solve its deficit and merge small parishes, which would involve gobbling up the assets of parishes that are really working. Canon Tilby said the new model was insensitive to theological difference, and what Leicester is doing simply contradicts the ordinal, which makes clear that such ministry is the lifeblood of the church. In emergencies, people want a priest, not an answer phone or a promise to call back, she wrote. Canon Tilby said parishes often did not realise they could say no to plans and argue that a scheme would not work. They can stand on the evidence that the scheme is unlikely to work. Cutting the numbers of clergy usually means a loss in both numbers and giving. The diocese may be broke, but the C of E isn't. It's not too late to divert the central funds, she added. Her concerns were echoed by campaigners at Save the Parish, who said the new community was a mega parish and unsustainable. Emma Thompson from Save the Parish said the changes were against the evidence which the Church of England itself has put out in the public square about how to make churches grow. Leicester Diocese has one of the worst ratios of diocesan staff to parish clergy, and should rather look to cut diocesan staff before cutting clergy. Clergy are already exhausted from being stretched too thinly over huge geographical areas. How can one oversight minister, although there is no such role in ecclesiastical law, possibly take a personal interest in such huge groups of churches and their congregations? Only clergy can give Holy Communion. Lay helpers can't, said Miss Thompson. Those attending will have fewer services, less vicar time, and be expected to travel, if they can, to services in churches other than their own. This impacts most on the elderly and poor. Not many bishops have been rural parish priests. She added, if this new Minster scheme goes through, the ancient, proven, localised parish priest model is finished in Leicestershire. The Diocese of Leicester said it was not seeking to abolish parishes, but rather seek to put them on a footing that is sustainable for mission and ministry in the 21st century and are financially self-sustaining. It said there was no set number of churches for a Minster community, and this would be decided in conversation between local churches and diocesan officers. A spokeswoman said the Minster community framework came out of an extensive research exercise and 400 local conversations, and it was approved by the Diocese Synod with 72% of members in favour. She said the number of clergy was not a fixed number and the framework could be adapted. An Islamist terrorist has admitted plotting to shoot dead a Christian preacher at Speaker's Corner after arranging to buy a gun for £5,000. Edward Little was planning to kill Ms. Hatton Tush when he set off in a taxi from his home in Brighton towards Hyde Park in London on September the 23rd last year. The 21-year-old, who told the taxi driver the £300 fare was not a problem, was carrying thousands of pounds in cash when he was stopped by police. He had earlier carried out research into guns and their capability and arranged to purchase one for £5,000. Little had targeted Ms. Tash, who regularly appeared at Speaker's Corner and debated Islam. He initially denied preparing to commit an act of terrorism, but when appearing at the Old Bailey last Friday, he changed his plea and admitted the charge. Prosecutors alleged he also intended to murder a camera crew that was following her, along with any police officers or soldiers in the area. However, his defense lawyer said Little only accepted targeting the preacher. Prosecutor Duncan Penny, KC, asked for 7 days to review whether the Crown would accept this or require a judge to decide. The court heard how Little had been arrested by police as he travelled by taxi to London. During the journey, he asked the driver to stop at a mosque so he could pray, but then said he would do it in the cab after being told there was none en route. When police intercepted him, he was carrying a rucksack containing £5,000 in cash, a passport and two mobile phones. Police later found an encrypted chat on one phone setting out his attack plan and detailing the planned gun purchase. Going by the online name of Abdullah, Little allegedly exchanged messages in which he discussed religion, Iraq and Kufr, or non-believers. In police interviews, Little declined to answer questions, but when shown a YouTube view of the preacher, he launched himself at the officer and had to be restrained. Little later admitted assaulting the officer at Newby Police Station and was sentenced to 8 months in prison. The court previously heard that Little had an absolutely shocking criminal record, with convictions for 14 offences including robbery, possessing a knife and drug dealing. Lord Justice Baker adjourned sentencing until July the 23rd and remanded Little into custody. Detective Chief Superintendent Ollie Wright, head of Counter-Terrorism Policing South East, said, "This was a fast-moving investigation which our team responded to quickly. This enabled us to stop Little in his tracks before he could carry out his plans. Little's guilty plea is a reflection of the strength of evidence our team was able to build and is a real example of why the Counter-Terrorism Policing Network exists." Following the hearing, Ms. Tash, who is an evangelical Christian preacher, said, "I am glad the police were able to act and stop Mr. Little before he harmed me and people around me. This should concern everyone in the UK." She added, "I should be able to practice my right to preach the gospel and critique Islam or anything else that I disagree with, especially at Speaker's Corner, the home of free speech."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.